Friday. From the Bob and Sherry studios on this fabulous Friday, it's Bob and Sherry.
Well, welcome to the Bob and Sherry show. Have you noticed when you see a leprechaun, you know, they always seem so positive and happy, don't they? They're upbeat, these leprechauns. And that brings me to habits positivity experts say we need to use to stay upbeat every day. Oh, that was
okay.
That was smooth. There are actually people who are positivity experts. Hey, there's an area I was never really brought into as a participant.
Hey, you can't be good at everything, right?
You can't. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's why we've been together so long. Positive psychology experts are sharing the science that will help you to be more optimistic. And they've studied this, you know, all their adult lives. So these people know what they're talking about. So you're just heading out for the day. You want to embrace the day in a positive way so you feel good all day long. Get those negative vibes away. Here's what you need to do. The people who are good at this cultivate enriching friendships. So if you have a friendship, it's a frenemy, that's toxic. You need. I'm not saying get rid of him or get rid of her, but you've got to have people with positive energy. Like Lamar. Lamar is one of those people that would be would enrich our – it does enrich our lives because he's very, very positive about so many things. They practice gratitude, very important thing. I think Max is very, very good at that. He practices gratitude and shares that every day. They counteract their negativity bias. Well, it's landing right on me now, right? I mean – who is better at counteracting my negativity bias? Hello.
You know, the reason,
is this
the reason
on?
That you have
Crickets.
The reason
Crickets.
You have a negativity bias is because you think that by bracing for the negative, you're prepared for it and somehow preventing it. That's why you have a negativity bias.
You know, you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
That's it's I'm
work,
trying to
course.
Fight that, but
yeah,
no, it doesn't
work.
It doesn't. They practice mindfulness. You know, that's always been something. You see that in all these magazines. I'm checking out at the grocery store, and every third time I check out, there's a magazine, real simple or you know, whatever it is. Practice mindfulness. I kind of know what that is, just to be aware of what's happening around me, to take it all in, to not go overboard one way or the other. But I can only do that for like, I don't know, 10 seconds practicing mindfulness. And then I'm back to, you know, counteracting my negativity bias. It's such a really confused life when you get down to it. I wish I'd never brought this up. They connect to their values. What does that mean? I mean, we all have values. Some are higher than others. Am I supposed to just say, well, you know, you are a good father. You're a good father. Look at you as a husband with Mary. Is that what I'm connecting to? My values that way?
No,
I'm patting myself on the back?
When you're faced with a difficult conundrum, you know, your values of being honest and decent, what you would connect, that helps you make the right choice. Connect back to your values. Go, this is a giant flaming dumpster. But as a person who values, you know, compassion and honesty, this is how I'm going to navigate or try to navigate. I think that's what that means. What do you think that
means? Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. Listen to this one here. This is from, again, habits of people who are positivity experts. It's people who move their body in a way that feels good. I have to bring that up again. They move their body in a way that feels good. Do you know that I have almost broken my father's way of walking? You know how
you
I told you?
Got rid of your panther-like saunter?
I did, yeah. Where it wasn't a panther saunter, it's like his head was back, a little bit and his body was back and he just walked a certain way and I caught myself doing that and I didn't like it. I've started moving my shoulders with my head straight. I don't do it all the time, but I'm starting to break because he had kind of an arrogant stride that I don't want to have. And I am moving my body now in a way that feels pretty good. Mindfulness right there.
I know we're out of time, so I guess I'm just going to die with the curiosity of how Bob's body moves when it feels good. And maybe it's best that my imagination take over from here. We've got the People's Movie Critic coming up with his review of The Signal on Netflix. We've got Fluffy comedian Gabriel Iglesias on the show. And we have enough St. Patrick's cool stuff for you to dazzle your friends all weekend. It's Bob and Sherry.
At the Bob and Sherry store, you have the freedom to buy whatever you want. Like Bob and Sherry caricature mugs, grocery bags, phone cases, True Weird Stuff swag, the Book of Bob, plus much, much more. At the Bob and Sherry store, no one will tell you what you gotta do. Get all this stuff at bobandsherry.com on the shop tab. That's the Bob and Sherry store at bobandsherry.com.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Hey, if you're a teacher or you know a teacher in need of a vacation, go to the contest page at bobandsherry.com and tell us about them. Every month, we're giving a teacher a trip from Visit Florida to stay at the Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida.
The hashtag that is viral on social right now is, if it's Boeing, I ain't going. And you saw the news about it's just a couple days, like day before the Boeing 777 had to make the emergency landing because of all the issues. And then, of course, the whistleblower who went to all this trouble to blow the whistle on Boeing just suddenly decides that he's done with this life. It is really shocking. And, you know, for us, we grew up in a world where Boeing was one of those blue chip company brands.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, that was synonymous with American excellence, wasn't it?
That's totally. It was like IBM. It was like AT&T. As a matter of fact, it was above them. Boeing was one of our probably the companies that best represented American excellence and might. Nobody could build a plane like Boeing.
Years ago, my theory was if a plane crashed or had a big problem, that's the plane I want to fly on next, because once they've had a big problem or something that hits the news, then they're going to tighten this thing down. They're going to check everything because they cannot afford anything else to happen. But it's like every other day. It's not getting any better. It's not.
You guys, my husband does not like to fly. I don't know that, and he doesn't have to fly. Like, I have to fly for my job. So whether I like to fly or not, whether I think if it's Boeing, I ain't going or not, I got to get on that plane. Right. Thankfully, we don't travel as much as we used to, but I still travel a fair amount. Kevin doesn't have to, and he's flatly refusing to fly, which means that if we can't drive to it, he's not going, which means I'll never get him to, like, I don't know, Tuscany or Egypt or whatever. Like,
or visiting your mother.
He'll drive. Yeah. Like my mom is. Wow. He's done it a bunch of times. My mom, because I'm going to go see her next month. My mom is like, well, Kevin has to come. I'm like, Mom, you know he won't fly. She said, well, then he can just drive. I'm like, he can barely put weight on his foot. She said, well, he's sitting.
Right. Mom, put him in the trunk. He'll be fine.
Yeah. It's 1,300 miles away. Well, he can listen to a podcast. I mean, it's just like.
You know that I have the same nervousness about flying that Lamar and you were talking about. And what helped me get over it to a certain degree, just a certain degree, is I had a very good friend I played golf with a lot who was the CEO of Goodrich. And Goodrich is a worldwide manufacturing company of parts for airplanes. And so we were waiting to tee off one day, and I said, so how do I get over this fear that I have? Because I have to fly, and, you know, I'm okay if it's really smooth and we're at 35,000 feet and everything's going great. He said, well, the main thing you need to remember is this. My company produces these parts, and almost every airplane has redundancy. And then redundancy upon that. So if, you know, I don't know, a gear jams, there's another gear that can take over. And it's one way or the other, it's going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. So that has been very helpful to me. But you know, I got to be honest, as soon as that door flew open.
There wasn't another door. There wasn't another door.
Right.
There wasn't another door. The tire flew off a United Airlines Boeing 777 shortly after takeoff at San Francisco. And they had to do an emergency landing at LAX. And then two nights ago, American Airlines had an issue with a tire. So I don't know, maybe take those bad boys over to Firestone and have Gary look at them. I don't know what is going on with these airplanes. But Boeing needs to get at this, because as soon as something like, if it's Boeing, I ain't going, starts trending, that's a mess that is very hard to mop up. We've got morons in the news next, and we've got the People's Movie Critic with The Signal on Netflix. Happy Friday, St. Patrick's Day weekend. This is Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't be a moron.
With Morons in the News.
Every once in a while, I'll say about every 5 years, this happens, and it's in Morons in the News. A Louisiana woman got a shock when a contractor tore down her house by mistake. They were supposed to take down the house next door, but they didn't. They got the address wrong. And now Ernestine Smith, who is 65 years old, is filing a lawsuit to get the cost of her home back. When the contractor came back to level the correct house, they offered Ms. Smith a couple of $1,000s for her trouble. I want you to just sit with that for a moment. A couple of $1,000s for her trouble. They're saying, I think your insurance will take care of that probably. I know it's kind of aggravating. You have nowhere to live right now. Here's $3,000. Good luck to you. Considering that she just renovated her house, Mrs. Smith turned that down. She is now suing so she can rebuild. Originally, the contractor said he tore down the other house and doesn't know how. He doesn't know how the whole thing happened.
He doesn't know how.
I know how. You looked at the wrong address. You did. If anybody has a job where you got a triple check, you've got to go to the neighbors. Does Miss Smith, who lives there? Is this the Andersons? Who is this? They just tore it down.
How is it okay that she only gets $3,000 and they tore her house down? How is that okay?
I think, as I was saying, I think the contractor is trying to say, well, you know, let insurance handle that. You know, I've got some insurance here, and here's a couple of $1,000. Have a nice time for the next 8 months, 10 months over at the Holiday Inn.
Can you imagine
coming on that?
Sometimes you just want to go, sir, can you come a little bit closer? So you can just slap his face. Like, there's your
I
face.
Know.
There's another slap in your whole face. Just slap.
Listen, I was walking the dog the other day, and there was a house about a quarter of a mile from us, and it was leveled. I hadn't been on the street for a while. It was gone, and they threw pine straw to cover up the ground to make it look okay in the meantime. They just got rid of a sick house. I stood there and looked. I was shocked. Can you imagine you pull up in your car after work to your driveway, and it's gone? And I mean, they can take down an average size house in a few hours. It's gone. Would that not mess with you so much?
Yeah. And I want you to imagine Like, your brain could not even process pulling into your driveway and your house isn't there.
It couldn't. No.
You could. You just couldn't process that.
No, Lamar? That's right.
Oh, you the want, you want me to grab it?
Yeah, go ahead and grab it.
No, you go.
Okay. The captain and co-pilot of a domestic flight in Indonesia carrying 150 people fell asleep for nearly 30 minutes. The captain of the Batik Airbus A320, 32 years old, he took a nap after getting permission from his co-pilot while the plane was at cruising altitude of 36,000 feet. Around 45 minutes later, the captain woke up and he offered to let the co-pilot rest. Co-pilot said, "Nah, I'm good." So the first officer spent roughly the next 20 minutes communicating with air traffic controllers and flight attendants, but then he inadvertently fell asleep. So now, for 28 minutes, the pilot and the co-pilot are out. They're asleep. They're nobody's at the command. So they wake up. They wake up and they call air traffic controllers and say, "We've had a radio communication problem." The plane landed in Jakarta without any further issues. And, of course, long-haul flights have a release pilots if it's long enough. If it's a short flight, they agree that each one of them can take a nap if they need to. It's designed to help manage fatigue and improve safety. The Batik Air said in a statement, "We operate with adequate rest policy and that it was committed to implement all safety recommendations." Hello, it's a two-hour flight. Why are you flying a plane if you can't stay awake for 2 hours?
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Amen. Yeah. Well, thank
so
God it was probably
the pilots
Boeing.
Or not. Yeah.
If it's Boeing, I ain't going. Okay, finally. A woman got trapped in a shipping container, and the owner of the shipping container is considering pressing charges. She's uninjured. She had to be taken to the hospital. This happened in the Cocoa Beach area. Apparently, Marlene Lopez was reported missing Wednesday, found the following day inside the shipping container next to a business on Cocoa Boulevard. The owner of the shipping container said, "Listen, that thing was packed full of lawnmowers. And when I locked it up for the night, I didn't see anybody in there. I didn't hear anybody in there. So I didn't kidnap this woman. I'm not a pervert." Meanwhile, the police are investigating, like, how did this woman get stuck in the shipping container? And she's not talking.
Huh. I have to think it's her in some way, shape, or form.
I like a lawnmower as much as the next girl, but not enough to climb into a shipping container and go to sleep with them. That is morons in the news. We got the People's Movie Critic coming up with The Signal on Netflix. Krispy Kreme is either trying to make your St. Patrick's Day or murder you with donuts. We've got the details coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Got a little story for you out of New Orleans. Rats have gotten into some confiscated marijuana in the evidence room at the aging police headquarters in New Orleans, and they have been eating the confiscated marijuana. The whole building is overrun by rats and mold and cockroaches. Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick said, "The rats are eating our marijuana and they are all high."
That is such a New Orleans statement. That is so new. You know, the whole city is, I hate to say this because I love New Orleans, but that whole city is having difficulty with a rat explosion.
The global technical director for Orkin Pest Control, Mr. Ron Harrison, said he's not surprised at all by what's happening in New Orleans. He said, "You know, rats are omnivores, and they may experience the same effects from marijuana as humans, depending on what form it's in." He said, "I understand the biology of rats and how it's somewhat similar to us. I think based on the amount of concentration they take in, it would be similar to what the humans experience. And I guess at the end of the day, everyone seems to agree that it's unfortunate that the police headquarters in New Orleans is falling down around their ears. And it's moldy and leaky and drafty and infested by bugs and rats. But everyone does seem to agree that the rats are high as anything. And they seem to be enjoying themselves. So there's your little silver lining." Yeah, there's your own silver lining. Now, he did say, the global director for Orkin said, This is the first time they've received a call about rats eating marijuana. He said Orkin does have contracts for some professional growing companies, greenhouses where marijuana is grown in states where it's legal. But yeah. He said this is the first time someone's called and said, can you come on out? The rats are real high from eating the
only in New Orleans.
Weed. Only in New That's Orleans. Right. It's Bob and Sherry.
The People's Movie Critic Review on Bob and Sherry is sponsored by Tide. Washing your clothes with Tide on cold cleans great and provides savings for your wallet and the environment.
It is time now for the People's Movie Critic and his review of The Signal on Netflix.
Yep. This is a series on Netflix, and it has 4 episodes, an hour each. It is tackling a lot of different subjects. Space exploration, first contact with aliens, geopolitical issues, mental health, family dynamics, marriage relationships, conspiracy theories, and a billionaire influencer. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. Plus, it's a German film that is dubbed, okay? So be prepared for this. You ain't got to read it. You just got to not pay attention to how the lips and the words go. Now,
right.
The family part is made up of Paula, an astronaut. She's played by Perry Baumeister. And her husband, Sven, is played by Florian David Fitz. And their hearing-impaired daughter, Charlie, is played by Una Bennett. Charlie is by far the greatest character and the best actor in the show. It's almost worth it just for her. And she also may be the smartest of the cast. We open with a crowd eagerly awaiting the return of a 90-day mission at a space station that is funded by this Indian billionaire, Banisha Mundi. As we join Paula and her fellow astronaut, Hadi, in the capsule, it's time to deploy the parachutes as they're re-entering Earth's atmosphere. Paula won't do it. And Hadi can't reach it. The button's right there. Paula's the only one that can hit the button, but she ain't going for it. She's refusing. He's begging. She's refusing. He's begging. Finally, seconds before it's too late, she hits the button. Now, the night before she is to fly home on an airplane back to Germany, she makes some mysterious statements to her husband that he really doesn't understand. And then the next day, the flight she's on goes missing, gone, vanished. All of a sudden, Sven is being questioned by the authorities from the government. He's very confused. We start seeing flashbacks of what happened up in the space station that really don't answer our questions, but they pose quite a few more questions. It seems Paula has made some sort of contact with something from outer space. Now the show is split into the current actions of Sven in real time and Charlie as they're investigating what Paula was trying to tell him and flashbacks so that we can see what Paula was actually doing at the space station for 3 months. Shady people from the government show up. They think Sven has information that he really doesn't. So he and Charlie have to avoid them while they investigate. Now, they're four episodes. They're an hour long. They're rated TVMA for some language. The show really constantly continues to raise more questions that it has time to answer. So a lot of things feel really rushed. We just don't have time to get to know a whole lot about the rest of the characters beyond just the surface. And as time starts to run out in the episodes, a lot of things happen that are really a little too simplistic to seem to be realistic. There's enough questions and there's enough players whose motives we would love to understand to fill 10 episodes, but we've only got 4. And in the last 30 minutes, you're going to be bombarded with a rushed anticlimax and then left with an ending that, unlike a Snickers bar, does not actually satisfy your hunger, okay? I don't want it to seem like I hated it, because I didn't. I enjoyed watching it. I don't regret watching it. The actress, who I will never, ever see again, did a decent job, especially the little girl playing Charlie. And it was interesting, and it's on your Netflix, so you're not doling out any money. You're sitting in your chair. Maybe it's a cultural difference in filmmaking. Maybe that the people in Germany should keep concentrating on making cars and leave movies to the TV and stuff to America. I don't know. Maybe that's it. It's just a different feel to it. But my score on this is 3 buds. I know that's a little low. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try it, but I'm just saying, for me, when it's all said and done, that's 3 buds.
So how about Lamar? It's 3 buds for you. It's a Zima for Bob. How many buds for me?
You could probably take it to 4.5 or 5. You really could. There's that thing. I kept thinking about you the whole time I'm watching it. I am. And I don't think you would be that disappointed in the ending either. I think you might go with it.
I haven't seen that many German movies over the years. The one that jumps out, and you can still see it on Netflix, is Das Boot, which was what it was like to be in a submarine that's under attack, when in World War II, which was frightening. I can't think of any others. All right. So
it's worth taking a shot. It's worth taking a shot.
So 3 buds for the signal. Yeah. I wondered when I saw the promo for this. This is one of those things that to like it, you're going to have to be kind of already into it. And it sounds like that was true.
A lot of people love it. You've got 2 different camps. They love it or they don't care for it. That's the
Kevin's
deal. 2 different camps.
Kevin's going to hate it. I can tell you that. Yep. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, Oddcast, Fun Size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
We want to see your pup. Go to the contest page at bobandsherry.com and upload a picture of you and your dog. Our judges will pick the top 3 to win $100, $150, or $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. Get up to 54% off your first order, plus free Tilly's treasures. Visit drmartyspets.com/Bob. Christy Brinkley is reminding everybody to wear sunscreen, especially on your face, because she is now being treated for skin cancer. Boy, that jumped out at me. Here's the story behind the story here. The former, I think she still is a supermodel, shared the information on Instagram. Quote, "The good news for me is we caught the basal cell cancer early, and I had great doctors who removed the cancer and stitched." This is so Christy Brinkley. "Removed the cancer and stitched me up to perfection like a couture Dior." Only Christy Brinkley can say those words, and you say to yourself, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that perfection should remain perfect forever. Her doctor evidently found the cancer when she accompanied one of her kids to an appointment. So I think it was, I didn't get this, was it on her hands? Is that where?
No, it's on her face.
It was on her face? Oh, my goodness.
Like up near her temple from the photo. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes, her face.
So the doctor said, whoa, here's Christy Brinkley in the examination room. What is that? And they took a look, and they caught it because of that. I'm very surprised she didn't catch that herself as a model. Aren't you?
It was a tiny, tiny bump, like the tiniest bump, like the sort of thing where you might go, wonder what that is. That's probably nothing, right? Mm-hmm. It was that insignificant. Yeah. And it turned out to be skin cancer. So yeah, you got to check yourself and wear your sunscreen. And if something seems wonky, go ahead and get it looked at.
As someone who has had skin cancer and had it removed, if you look at my chin, you'll notice one side of it's crooked. That's because I had to take a piece of my face out because of skin cancer.
What?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you worked with me with the bandage on my chin during that time.
When you say a chunk of your... Was that the time you were recovering and I sent you a get-well gift, of myself?
No, that was back surgery.
Back surgery.
Oh, that was back surgery. All right.
No.
Do you still have that picture? Where's that picture?
I don't know. It's somewhere. But I will say...
Is that in a good place?
Yeah.
Where's this
I know where it is.
Wait. He signed the picture. Tough, I love this. Best Bob Lisi.
I wanted to get a few laughs.
He meant it.
But I did to get back it. To I this did. Thing I... with the skin cancer, yes, I did have that, and I had it removed, wow. and it was, but I, so I said to the doctor, I said, well, they said, I said, well, you know, is this pre-cancer? Is this, it? She said, no, this is skin cancer. You must not pass go. You must go get this taken care of this week. And so I did. I went and had it taken wow. care of. The only thing that's weird about it is you're there and they numb it all up. It's just the noises that you hear while it's happening that are so stomach turning. Because you go, yeah, whatever that noise is, that's my skin. That's my chin. But he did a very good job of making so my jawline doesn't look too bad. But I am, my face is right there. My chin is crooked from it because I had so much of it taken out.
To get back to where my picture is, I have a pretty good eye. You know where my picture is? You know, I'll tell you where my picture is. Everybody's got a drawer where all of the remotes that don't work anymore.
You dead throw batteries, those. You're too lazy to throw away and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And you say to yourself, someday I'll never see TV again if I throw away this remote. This remote has to go in the remote drawer. Bob, that's where my picture is.
Bob,
that's
this
where
is not
it
a complete is. Loss. I don't know where the picture is. I reuse the frame, though. The frame is still in here.
Oh, Bob, my God.
I know where the picture is. I know.
Oh, God, Bob. Bob. Yeah, listen, it's not between the pages of the family Bible. I'll go ahead and tell you
that,
Bob.
It is not there. It is not there.
So Bob bought a frame and put his picture in it, and you have used the frame without Bob's picture.
So what I took this as a gift of a frame, as a get well gift, and that's how I looked at it.
That is not how I addressed it at all. No, that is not what was in my mind.
Can I tell Bob the truth?
Go ahead.
Max's ex-girlfriend stole the picture, okay? Because she needed it by her bedside. Yeah.
Really? I will tell you that it was up in my bedroom because that's where I was recovering, was in my bedroom. And she said, what's this doing?
Well, hey, here's the important thing. Here's the important thing. You're doing great. So let me just say, best. Best.
Bob, you have graduated to one of those pictures that's in a frame that you throw away. You graduated to that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Gabriel Iglesias.
But again, if you're going to drink, just be careful, you guys. You know, again, some of you can handle and some can't. I got kicked out of a bar on St. Patrick's Day. I was performing at the bar. How do I get thrown out, right? You know, I'm having fun. People are giving me free drinks. Here, have another drink. I'm like, woo! I started pissing off the management and the owners of this Irish place that I was at, right? The bartender's like, hey, buddy, relax. Are you okay? Are you having a good time? I was so drunk, I did this. I'm having a great time. People around me, oh my God, are you Irish? I was like, hey! Like, what part of Ireland are you from? Downtown. Are you here by yourself? Oh no, I'm not here by myself. Donkey! Now, if you're not laughing, you need to get out more often, because that's a funny joke. That's hysterical. Ask a 10-year-old, they'll tell you, that's funny! I did that joke one night in Memphis, Tennessee, and some guy thought he knew why it was funny, and he was way off. But he confronted me outside, all drunk. Hey, Ian, Fluffy. I'm like, what? Mirror. No, you mirror. And he walks over and he's like, I have to tell you, your show was hysterical. I damn near wet myself when you said, donkey! My friend Roy didn't laugh, so I had to explain it to him, and he thinks I'm wrong, but I know I'm right. Could you set the record straight? Sure, what'd you tell your friend? Okay, look here. I told him the reason why it's funnier than hell that you said donkey. It's because you're Mexican. And you people ride donkeys. Normally, I would have been all over this guy, but two things. One, I was in Memphis, Tennessee. No support. And two, the guy was drunk. I just don't deal with drunk people, man. When it comes to drinking and women, ladies, when you go out, make sure you take one guy with you. You need to take one guy, even if he's, oh my God, you need one. Because a group of you get together, there's always one girl who will elect herself the team captain, right? Try to rally the troops, get everybody together, you know. Okay, look, check it out. This is a, shut up. Okay, look, this is what's going to happen. We're going to take my car, so leave your car. My car, leave your car. Ready, ready, let's go. They get in the car. They get to the club. Oh no, my purse. They go inside the club. They start jamming, having fun, right? Yeah. End of the night, that same girl who's been the leader, the captain, she gets more hammered than everybody. She's the biggest hypocrite walking out missing a shoe, purse, keys, friends, car. Look at some of your pointing. That's you. End of the night, she's stumbling out of the club.
I gotta pee. Not anymore.
She's on the curb crying, mascara's coming down her face.
Wasted. Who the hell is gonna want me now?
That's when I come out.
What's up?
Gabriel Iglesias, you can find that at BOBANDSHERI.com. Just click the menu tab and look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. And don't forget, if you missed the People's Movie Critic earlier, you can find that review there too. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
This is such a cool story. So a couple of biologists and nature biologists have discovered something in the Black River Preserve in North Carolina. It's America's old, this is where in the Black River Preserve, the oldest trees in America outside of the redwoods in California are all in this place. It's in Bladen County. And
really?
These are cypress trees. And one of those cypress trees there is the fifth oldest tree in the world.
Wow.
So when they first visited the site back in the 1980s, they found a cypress tree that was 1,650 years old. And they were like, that's amazing. Wow. 1,650-year-old tree. That's extraordinarily rare anywhere but in California and Chile. It's actually really rare, Lamar, to find a tree anywhere in the whole wide world that's more than 1,000 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So recently, a guy named Dr. David Stahl, from the University of Kansas, and this biologist, Julie Moore, went back to the Black River Preserve in North Carolina, and they realized they'd made a mistake. There's a tree there that is 2,624 years old. It's a tree older than Christianity. Whoa. In a swamp in North Carolina.
Gosh.
Let me say that.
That is, wow.
2,624-year-old tree. They say that when you go into this preserve, it's like walking into the Cretaceous period. These are some of the oldest trees in the world. And right there in that swamp is a tree older, predates Christ. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, man.
That it's still living. That's a living thing that's been living all that time.
That's just crazy.
Julie Moore said that they stood there for 15 minutes. She said, I get goosebumps thinking about it. All we could do was stare and wonder at what we were seeing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the Nature Conservancy owns that particular preserve, that particular bit of swamp in North Carolina. So I'm not sure if you can visit it. But we have to protect that 2,624-year-old tree.
Oh, yeah.
We have to.
No. Yeah.
Isn't that a great story?
Doubt.
That it's is Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
It is talk back time. You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERI, or you can grab the Bob and Sherry app. It's free in Google Play and the Apple Store. And there's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. If you tap it and talk, the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. This is Dwayne from Kentucky. I just heard Lamar's review of Dune 2 getting the 5 ice cold buds. I was curious, what gets the 6-pack? Has there been any movies that he has reviewed that gets the full 6-pack? And what are the standards to which a movie should do in order to get that honor? Just curious. If you could let me know, that'd be great.
Might be too much of a question to answer there. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's not much. It's not much. The only way to get a 6-pack is to impress me. I don't care what nobody else says. You got to impress me. I got to be walking out of that theater going, man, I did not see that. Man, that was, I'm blown away. If I'm talking to myself all the way back to my truck, there's a chance. Now, here's the deal. It doesn't happen very often, but it hasn't been that long ago that it happened. And this will give you an idea. This will give you an idea of the large area that it can cover from two completely opposite ends of the scale. Oppenheimer got a 6-pack because the performances, they were unbelievable. It was just, it was on the money. It was absolutely on the money, and it got a 6-pack. But before that, Saw 10 also got a 6-pack. And you know how much I hate Saw movies, but remember, those movies that I was forced to go see over the years that I kept my eyes closed the whole time because I didn't want to see that stuff, I'll go to see the 10th one, and they actually had a great plot. They had great acting. Everything came together. The worst movies ever, and the 10th one goes, they finally figured it out. It was a great plot, and it was a great movie. But you can't think of anything more opposite than Saw 10 from Oppenheimer. But both of those got a 6-pack because I was still mumbling to myself. I think I gave it. I gave it 5.
Is that all?
And it was awesome. What is that all? Five is great.
Five is.
Five is great. But you got to kick it a little bit. You got to kick it a little bit to get to 6. And if I'm not mumbling about myself, and here's the other thing. If I'm calling somebody as soon as I get in my truck, as soon as I step in and I start calling somebody to tell them about it, there's your 6 right there. There's your 6.
So to get a 6-pack then, People's Movie Critic, it's not just that you can't wait to jump in your truck and get on the phone and tell somebody, but do you look at a movie and go, there is nothing about this that needs to be changed? Nothing needs to be improved.
No. They couldn't have done it any better. They couldn't have. There's not one moment where I'm going, I wouldn't have done that, or I'm not believing this or whatever. I'm in. If you've pulled me all the way in and you've done everything right. But like I say, it doesn't happen that often.
So here's a question then about Dune 2, which you reviewed last Friday and gave 5 buds. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what prompted this question. And you yourself said that the whole time you were watching Dune 2, you were mad that you weren't seeing it in IMAX and also that you hadn't read the book. Could that be a factor in why Dune 2 only got a 5-pack?
Probably, because and that would be my fault. I'm not as educated on it as I should be. I mean, I got to be honest, and Sherry, you've watched the movies. Have you seen the second one yet?
Not yet, because, I can't get out of the house yet.
You can't get out of the house. But here's the deal. I think for a person that has read the books, I mean, that has really, as a scholar of the whole Dune saga, it's probably a 6-pack for them.
If I'm calling somebody right after I get into my truck, I'm in the wrong vehicle, probably.
That's the truth.
That is true. I'm a truck guy.
You are. You are.
I am. It's a truck.
It's hard because some movies, even though they may not be like great, you know, they may have flaws, but there's something about them that just so grabs you. It's the casting.
Yes.
Or you're like I have so much nostalgia for Willy Wonka that it took a lot for me to hate the Johnny Depp version. Like, I went in there primed to love it. You know, when you walk into a movie and you're like, I'm going to love this. And then you're so disappointed.
He's gonna be great.
Yeah. That you hate it more than it even deserves just because you were so primed to love it.
The Saw 10 flipped around so much for me. I'm like, what? Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, they did a great job on it. It's a great job.
You giving Saw 10 a six-pack is the shock of my life because you hate
it was a shock of mine. It was a shock of mine, violence. Too.
And folks, that's how you know that this is a real movie critic for the people, that he is not afraid to give a six pack to something he should have hated. And speaking of, if you missed his review of The Signal on Netflix, you can find that right now at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to BobandSherry.com.
Are you ready for St. Patrick's Day? It's right around the corner, friends. Yeah, I'll tell you who is ready. Krispy Kreme is ready. Would you like to hear what they have for St. Patrick's Day this year?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. First of all, the first donut is the Luck of the Rainbow Donut. It's an original glazed donut dipped in green icing, rainbow explosion sprinkle blend, and topped with a buttercream cloud. The next one is the Shamrock Cookies and Cream, made with Oreo cookies, an unglazed shell filled with cookies and cream filling, made with Oreo cookies dipped in white icing with green drizzles and St. Patrick's Fusion sprinkles.
Is that just one donut? Wait.
That's
what you
one,
just said.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I've given you two donuts so far. Two donuts so far.
Good.
Here's the third one for St. Patrick's Day at Krispy Kreme. The Plaid Party Donut, an unglazed shell filled with white cream filling, dipped in chocolate icing and drizzled with green icing. And the fourth donut at Krispy Kreme for St. Patrick's Day is the Shooting Shamrock Donut, an original glazed donut dipped in light green icing with a green icing swirl topped with shamrock sugar pieces. So those are the four. It is suggested that you find a Krispy Kreme within eyesight of a local hospital if you are consuming one of these things. Holy moly.
You know, the thing is, they all sounded so, so, so good, but you know that you couldn't eat. I mean, you could maybe eat one and a half of those before you'd have to go lie down.
You would have it? I mean, the first one, the Luck of the Rainbow Donut, an original glazed donut dipped in green icing, rainbow explosion sprinkle blend. And here's what got me, topped with a buttercream cloud.
That one was the healthiest one, I thought. That was the most restrained. What? Say the second one again.
Shamrock cookies and cream, made with Oreo cookies, an unglazed shell filled with cookies and cream filling, made with Oreo cookies dipped in white icing with green drizzles and St. Patrick's Fusion sprinkles.
Man, get your affairs in order before you eat that. Go ahead and make sure your will is current and the kids know where the keys to everything is.
You know, my daughter Landon does not allow her kids, Christian and Elle, to eat, you know, sugary stuff, especially Christian. She said he really does. It's not an old wives' style. He gets really hyper on sugar. She said to Mary and me when we took him for the weekend, she said, do what you want to do, but if you break it, you own it. And I broke it. I took him out for ice cream. Holy smoke. I can't imagine if he had the Plaid Party Donut, an unglazed shell filled with white Krispy Kreme filling dipped in chocolate icing and drizzled with green icing. That kid would be on the roof. He would absolutely be on the roof.
I would be on the roof. Like, it would be the first three bites would be like you know how when you eat something like this and the first three bites, you're like, I can't even believe how delicious this is. Thank God I'm alive at a time when something this delicious is cheap and available.
Right.
But then you hit the fourth bite and you break out into a sweat.
Sometimes
you're going to pay.
And sometimes when you finish it, you just go, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? The only thing that is just as good the last bite as the first bite is pizza.
Yeah. God, that is the truth, isn't it?
Yes,
it is.
Let me think about that for a second. Is there any other food?
No.
Max or Doc, is there any other food for you that's as good last bite as it is the first bite as pizza? This is a profound truth you've landed on, Bob.
Thank you. I'm very profound.
Fried chicken is for me.
Oh, wait, Book of Bob. Hang on. Book of Bob. Wait.
Well, I mean, you said that it was a profound thought, and I just wanted to make sure it didn't slip by for the audience.
3:15:24
You don't have to. That's not necessary.
Profound.
That's really not necessary.
Got it. I'm going to be thinking about that all day. Is there anything else that's as good that last bite as it is that first bite? Mm. But now you're making me want to go to Krispy Kreme. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can You Believe This is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
Well, with St. Patrick's Day coming up on Sunday, here's some fun stuff you may not know. 31.5 million Americans have Irish ancestry. That's almost 10% of us.
I thought it would be higher than that.
I think it was once upon a time, of course, but, you know, there's so many people in the country now and come from everywhere. Any idea what state has the largest concentration of Irish ancestry? Illinois is a good guess. Anybody else want to take a swing at it?
I'm going to take the obvious one and say New York.
New York. Lamar, Doc, you got a guess?
I got to go with Bob.
If not, you, Doc, it's got to be Massachusetts. Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Bob on this one.
The answer is New Hampshire. 1 in 5 New Hampshire residents have Irish ancestry.
Really?
Which is...
Dang, Bob.
Absolutely. Did not see that coming either. Absolutely.
Sorry,
wild.
Fellas. I'm really sorry.
A whole bunch of U.S. presidents are Irish, including Andrew Jackson. He was the very first Irish-American parents. And in fact, Andrew Jackson's parents emigrated to America from Ireland 2 years before he was born. So he was our first Irish-American president. Ulysses S. Grant, Teddy Roosevelt, of course, John F. Kennedy, right? Ronald Reagan. Both the Bush presidents, H.W. and W., Barack Obama, Joe Biden. And then there's a bunch of other Irish-American presidents, rather, that had lesser Irish-American ancestry. Everyone from Richard Nixon, believe it or not, to Woodrow Wilson, and everyone's favorite president, Grover Cleveland. Does anyone know anything about Grover Cleveland? Do you have a single Grover Cleveland fun fact available?
No.
Probably not.
He was a big fellow, wasn't he? Wasn't he a big fellow?
He was rather big. I think I read once that the kids made fun of his name in school.
Max, there you go.
That up, maybe.
Yeah, they thought it was like a Sesame Street character.
Sometimes when people think about Ireland because of the raucous St. Patrick's Day parades we have in America, where the first St. Patrick's Day parade in history was held, we kind of invented the holiday in a lot of ways. You think that the Irish are a big drinking culture, but it's actually against the law to be drunk in a public place in Ireland. And Nigeria consumes way more Guinness than the Irish do. Nigeria, really? Number one consumers of Guinness. Brits, Ireland's in third place. And as far as St. Patrick chasing the snakes out of Ireland, Mm-hmm. Well, it's an island. There were never any snakes. So that's just an urban legend.
Mm-hmm.
St. Patrick did some other things. And you know, by the way, St. Patrick has never been officially canonized by the church.
Is that right?
More Irish people live outside of Ireland than in it. So right now, the population of Ireland, and we're not even talking about people with Irish descent. The population of Ireland is about 4.8 million people. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you something mind-blowing. Before the Great Irish Famine, the potato famine of 1845, there were over 8 million people living in Ireland.
Whoa!
But is even to this day, the population is half that.
Huh. The population of Ireland is like 4 point whatever million people.
4.8 million people.
Yeah.
And you know, how is it you never knew that? That
I know.
Ireland's population before the famine was double that. English is not the first language of Ireland. Irish is, Gaelic is. And what was the very last port of call for the Titanic?
I always thought it was Liverpool. It's not, it wasn't Liverpool. Where was it?
It's Ireland.
Was it really?
The Argentinian Navy was founded by an Irishman. Admiral William Brown, who was Irish, was in Argentina trying to protect the country from Spanish invaders. And he said, "Chaps, while I'm here, what say we form a navy?" And so that's what they did. Yeah. Which of our favorite holidays came from Ireland?
Well, it wouldn't. I don't think it'd be Thanksgiving. Obviously not Christmas.
Thanksgiving's an American holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this an actual holiday that you would get a day off, or is this like Halloween?
It's Halloween.
It is Halloween.
Found it in Ireland. Yep. Yeah.
Very good, Max.
Yup. And finally, the ashes of St. Valentine, another holiday, are in Dublin. They were brought to Dublin from Rome by an Irish monk. The ashes were a token gift from the Pope at that time. And lots of, it's a tradition in Ireland to visit the shrine to ask St. Valentine to pray for their long, happy, romantic life together. So there you go. There's all kinds of fun St. Patrick's Day stuff you can share with your friends this weekend.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Well, it's not St. Patrick's Day unless somebody is dyeing their river green. All right? And this whole thing got started in Chicago. The Chicago River is probably the most well-known dyed river. They have 400,000 onlookers that come see it. How this got started was, in 1961, the Chicago River was polluted with sewage. So Chicago's mayor, Richard J. Daley, wanted to find who was doing it. So what he did was, he authorized green special dye to be poured into a portion of the river to see where the dumping was coming from. This project gave Stephen Bailey, a friend of Daley's, and he is also the chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the bright idea of turning the entire river green. And they used a secret formula to do it. Now, Savannah, Georgia had the same idea. And they actually were first. They actually did it first. But the problem was, when they tried to dye the river green, it all filtered away due to how fast the tide was moving. So this really gave them nothing. So they wound up having to dye some fountains throughout the city. They still keep one fountain dyed, but it gave them a year behind Chicago. Then you've got San Antonio, Texas. They didn't have a problem with pollution. They had a problem with no money coming in. They had no tourists. They had nothing going on. So a group of the Riverwalk business owners got together to attract more tourists. They obtained the military-style dye marker packs from parachutists out of the Air Force, dumped it in there, and now they have over 75,000 people coming in to watch all this, and it really turned it around for them, which is very cool. But here's one that really means something to us. Charlotte, North Carolina. The National White Water Center, they dye their whitewater green during St. Patrick's Day, and they have all kind of festivities and concerts and all kinds of stuff. So we do it in Charlotte just like they do it somewhere else. So I think that's a great idea.
I got to see the river in Chicago dyed green once in my life. I happened to be there. And it was super cool. It was really cool.
All I could think about is, are you sure this is not polluting the river and making it worse? That's all I could think about. I'm sorry. I mean, it's who I am.
I'll tell you what.
You really
I'll tell you what. It ain't a party till you come.
You really are. It is not.
It is not a good time till you show up, mister.
What's the material? What are they? What is?
All right, we got a break.
This is Bob and Sherry.
It's Bob and Sherry, the podcast.
Okay, so it's St. Patrick's Day this Sunday, you know, where we'll be doing the Wearing O' the Green. And I learned something about Irish music that absolutely, I mean, it just stopped me in my tracks. So the Celtic people had an oral, they didn't have a written language for a long, long, long time. The Celtic tribes, everything was passed down orally. Religion, history, legends were passed down from one generation to the next, but always in the form of songs. So music was really, really important to the Celts. And then here come the English, and they conquer Ireland. And they not only forbid the Irish people to speak their own language, Gaelic, they're oppressing them. They tried to make Gaelic a dead language, guys. They didn't succeed, but they tried. Yeah. It was against the law. Yeah. And so the Irish, like any people that are oppressed by a heavy-handed dictatorial government, they turn to music to remember their heritage and hold on to their history. And so even though they weren't allowed to speak their language, they were able to sing it, except the English were like, I do not think so, Irish people. And they outlawed music. It was not only against the law for the Irish to play and sing their music, but Queen Elizabeth I made a decree that any artist, musician, or piper playing Irish music was to be arrested and hanged on the spot.
Wow.
What?
Wow. Yeah. I have to say, the Irish, the fact that the Irish are not more pissed off than they are at the English.
I know. You're exactly right.
They really were for a long time, though. I will
long time.
Yeah. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I have a True Weird Stuff episode coming up about one of the most haunted places in the world. It happens to be in Ireland. And the English, I got to say, I don't know how they fit those cojones in the boats to get over there. That what the English did to the Irish is just breathtakingly awful, which is why if you think that Americans have been feasting on all the drama in the British royal family, there's no popcorn in the stores in Ireland. They're so busy like, yeah, bring it on. Let's watch Prince William undermine the monarchy. It's crazy how anti-English, and who can blame them? So many of the Irish are. But I want you to imagine a decree that if you're caught playing your people's music, they're going to hang you right there where you stand.
You know, it's interesting. The English, I mean, some of my friends are British, and they're great people, great senses of humor. The English, over the centuries, have invaded something like 90% of the civilized world and beyond the civilized world. I mean, they really wanted that island to grow bigger. What is the number one song that will not be played on English radio?
Come on, Paul
McCartney. By Paul McCartney. By Paul. Here's the greatest musician. Give Ireland back to the Irish. That's right. You will never hear that on English radio stations.
I have one more really fun thing to tell you. I'm so excited to tell you this. Can you take one more fun thing? This is a lot more fun than hanging the musicians, okay? This is fun. So what's a traditional meal on St. Patrick's Day?
Corned beef and cabbage, okay.
So cabbage, long, long a staple of the Irish diet, but not corned beef. The Irish used to have cabbage with Irish bacon, But then when the great wave of Irish immigration began and the people of Ireland poured through Ellis Island and came into the United States, Irish immigrants living on the Lower East Side of New York City, they were so poor and they were struggling. And Irish bacon was expensive, but their Jewish neighbors said, "Have you ever tried corned beef? Because it's right tasty." And that's how we developed the American tradition of corned beef and cabbage. Isn't that the coolest? What a melting pot story that is. So let the musicians play. And isn't it great when one immigrant group coming to our fine shores shares a tradition with another and it becomes a whole thing? And happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. It's Bob and Sherry.
Here's Bob and Sherry with Charlie King and the Zippy Zodiac.
Take it away for the week ahead, Charlie.
Well, this week we're going to be shifting into Aries season. So for Aries, naturally, that brings a surge of outgoing energy. Your first duty is to yourself as you take center stage. Although sometimes with like birthday celebrations and such comes the possibility of an increase in weight gain. Cake day isn't an everyday thing, so don't sweat it. You'll be back in shape in no time. For Taurus, it's the cosmic new year, so any problems that you've kind of swept under the carpet may be brought swiftly to the surface. This could be from work to relationship matters to your health. And you'll need closure and improvement in one or all of those areas. Just consider it as preparation for when your season starts next month. Gemini, this is a time for team efforts. Your social or professional network might be the key to unlocking some success. So dive into your connections with old friends, be very open to new faces, but also prepare for the closure of certain friendships that have come to a natural end.
Makes good sense. I like it.
For Cancer, you'll excitedly put energy into accomplishments and taking steps forward in your career and your personal life. Your greatest achievements will come from gentle corrections made to an existing idea or something you've been sitting on for a while. So don't reinvent the wheel, just adorn it with your special, unique touch. For Leo, you could find yourself navigating legal matters or handling contracts, paperwork, or dealing with insurance or managing projects that are close to like a deadline or that you're even behind on. And these tasks could feel unfamiliar, maybe overwhelming. So ask for help if needed. Virgo.
Yes.
Get ready for a dynamic financial roller coaster this week. Money flows in and out a lot more frequently, and there's really not much you can do about that. So just stay cautious with big financial moves like loans and credit matters. But positively, you can also stay open to there being the potential of a pleasant surprise, like an unexpected generous gift.
You have no idea how you have just nailed exactly what I'm going through right now. I mean, exactly.
It's uncanny, isn't it? It is uncanny. Mm-hmm. Libra,
this week, relationships take center stage. So be mindful of potential conflicts between yourself and your closest others. And you might not be the instigator, but you could still be somehow involved. For Scorpio, be prepared for minor challenges at work, including changes in your responsibilities, where you might be called upon to do way more than your usual share of things. Or there could be a situation somewhere that's full of misunderstandings and you're going to be the one putting out fires and saving the entire team.
Well, that sounds great, Charlie. Thank you for another really good...
Putting out the fires and saving the team. I'm the fire! Hey, Max, if you could put me out with a bucket of gin and tonics, that'd be swell. All right, Sagittarius,
be mindful of letting emotions cloud your judgment and try to avoid impulsive decisions, anything that's too quickly made. And I know that's easier said than done for Sagittarius. So if you need some excitement, maybe lean into leisure and fun and make time for hobbies, sports, or activities that serve no other purpose than putting a smile on your face. Capricorn.
Okay.
So the effect of things like family on your existence is something you may reflect upon more, like how you have had to be a pillar of support to others and you've had to be one of the strongest in your clan. So this is time to be proud of how you've handled the cards you were dealt. And really, all of this just comes to the surface because maybe a connected relative or someone from the past asks to come visit you, or they make a request of a favor that you don't want to fulfill, but you will anyway.
Of course I will, Charlie. Is there any way that this hand I've been dealt, which looks to me like eight jokers, is there any way? Is there any way I could set that on fire and Max could put it out? It's just a question. Let's go to Aquarius.
Aquarius, this week you are eager to stay mentally active and you can find yourself taking on so many tasks, even tasks for other people. This is just to keep your mind engaged. You might lead a project or you might share your two cents, which could be fulfilling. Just make sure that others are ready and open to hearing your input before you start letting it all out. And Pisces, this week could be perfect timing to cash in on something that you've been wanting or needing to sell. And if it's not the act of minimizing and simplifying, you could be on the receiving end of an unexpected bonus that supports you in splurging on yourself a little.
All right. Well,
I'm going to be looking for that big gift coming my way. I can tell you that.
I'm going to be looking to do a favor that I don't want to do.
I'm going to be looking for more responsibilities and putting out fires.
Yay! Charlie, we're going to get this posted up at bobandsherry.com and on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. And we so appreciate you, and we will see you next week for the Zippy Zodiac. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
It's stuff you won't hear on the show. The Bob and Sherry Oddcast on the Bob and Sherry app. Get it now in iTunes Store or Google Play.
Okay, did you have something here? Because I
thought we were doing hangover cures.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Is Todd
because
back?
It's
yeah,
the there weekend.
Todd is back, yeah. I want you to have fun, my friend, this weekend, but don't drink too much, all right? Because that's not good. Now, if you have, what is the name of your friend that you drink with? He's got some kind of crazy.
My drinking buddy, Jaeger Mike.
Jaeger Mike.
But unfortunately, I will be spending my St. Paddy's Day at a cheer competition. I will be wearing my cheer garb, and it will be green, somewhat green. And I will be celebrating with all the other cheer parents.
Well, when you get home, you're going to want to drink.
I did ask permission if flasks are allowed into the gymnasium. And I was giving a don't ask, don't tell answer.
I bet. All right. So here are some from the internet, some hangover cures. Tell me which ones you would use. Okay. All right. We shouldn't drink too much. But if, you know, you tie one on St. Patrick's Day, you might need these. Gatorade, Emergen-C, and Alka-Seltzer, and a double bacon cheeseburger.
Yes.
You better
all of those things in one setting. Yeah.
All at one time. An egg drop soup and lemonade.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound good? Why does that sound good? They don't make any sense together, but it sounds good. Pedialyte and Gatorade. No.
I don't like the way Pedialyte tastes. I'm going to have to go with Gatorade.
I'm not going to do that. Cold Chinese food.
That's always good.
You know, I can't eat it cold, though. I have to heat it up and eat it up. Swimming in cold water.
No, thank you. You know, I'd rather you could be hungover than be cold.
You could see how it might work, though.
For somebody else.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to be cold.
Sugar snap peas and water.
Can I have the bacon cheeseburger?
I know. It's so much more appealing, isn't it? So far, that's the best one. All right, let's go to the next one here. Ugh. I've heard this before. Pickles plus pickle juice.
You know, sometimes I crave salty things so much that I can drink like green olive juice right out of the jar.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, but it's in a martini.
No, I mean right out of the jar. Yeah.
Ramen. Beef ramen and a lot of sriracha and some Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yes.
No.
Spicy things, if I have a hangover, and I can't, it's been a while, but I want like huevos rancheros and like a really spicy Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm. Why couldn't I pronounce ramen?
Because you don't eat it?
I don't eat it very often. I've had ramen noodles.
It's not your thing.
It's not. A hot bowl of pho. P-H-O.
Pho.
Mm-hmm. Why is it pronounced pho?
Because that is how the Vietnamese people pronounce it.
There's an O in the end. It's a Vietnamese soup, yeah.
It
looks
so
pretty good.
Pho?
Pho. Huh. All right. Just plain.
Pho, a soup, an Asian soup. Try to remember it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's good. Just plain milk.
No.
No. No.
That makes me want to throw up.
How about chocolate milk? We're talking about hangover cures. Chocolate milk and some chocolate pudding. You like that?
Not the milk part, but maybe the pudding.
Dramamine.
Yeah, but it's going to make you sleep, right?
It's going to make you sleep. You know, I have never been seasick, and I feel sorry for people who take Dramamine when they go out on a boat. Sugar and salt dissolved into a glass of water. I don't get that. A long shower with no soap. Listening to Adele. Honey barbecue Fritos and wild cherry Pepsi. I could see that.
Yeah.
Cucumber sandwiches, Advil, and water.
The thing with the last one was the combination of sugar and salty.
Mm-hmm. A bowl of ramen, a Diet Coke, and a Disney movie.
Yeah, okay.
And there they are. Which is the best one?
The cheeseburger in the emergency.
I think that is the best one. Let me run it by again. Gatorade, emergency, and Alka-Seltzer, plus a double bacon cheeseburger. Mm-mm-mm. Have fun on St. Patrick's Day, but don't drink too much.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
I think almost all of us have had some sort of an expression or what was presented as fact when we were kids, and we never really understood whether or not that was on the level. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day for the weekend, and what I was told via a grandparent, and I didn't get much out of my grandparents. My grandfather worked in a gun factory in New Haven, Connecticut, and allegedly said, we have some Irish, we're mostly German, a little British, we have, you know, maybe 25% Irish. He said that this factory put up signs that said, no dogs or Irish allowed. Mm. They weren't going to hire Irish. They didn't want them in the building, you know, trying to sell something. And evidently, according to my grandfather, that was a common thing in a lot of cities. Can you imagine? That is the prejudice against the Irish that had just come probably to our shores 30 years earlier, something like that. That's what they were getting. I guess we do it to every group, you know?
We do. Yep. That's what humans do.
I guess we do it to every group. And the Irish brought so much. They were so skilled as stone cutters, as artists, in so many different ways. I mean, they built a lot, like the Italians, they built a lot of the great buildings that are still around today. But the idea of that sign, was that just something that was floating around and my grandfather never saw one of those signs? Or did see that every day when he went to work?
That was pretty common. I mean, especially if you lived in like New York or Boston or Philly, right? Yeah. In that Northeastern corridor.
Primarily, yeah, that's right.
You should, bad, you should hear what they did to the Italian immigrants. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true, too. I'm glad the Irish hung in there. They are a big part of America now. It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.